It's Reefer Madness, the podcast with Trevor and Kirk.
Kirk, we're back. It's Christmas Day. People are listening to this on Christmas Day.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Yeah. Okay. We hope.
Well, yeah.
They might be listening to it. They might be listening to us after. We're launching it at Christmas
Launching
Day.
It on Christmas Day.
No.
Kirk, we talked to some launching really fun people Day. From all over the world, really. Who were we chatting with?
Well, geez, you know, it was really a lot of fun. We were speaking to a fellow in Britain. We were speaking to a fellow who was down in the southern states near the Gulf. And we were talking to a guy in the Flatland, a Flatlander over there in Saskatchewan. And two of the fellows were in jurisdictions that don't necessarily have the same laws Canada has. So they were speaking to us as abattoirs. But it was high on homegrown. Guys that basically teach people how to grow. And they have a podcast, they have a video cast, and they interviewed us. Or were we interviewing them?
It was hard to tell a lot of the times, but they were a lot of fun. Super knowledgeable, though. You know, they sort of... When you first listen to them, they sort of have a bunch of stoners having a conversation vibe, and they definitely have that. Like, they actually, the episode they had
us... Well, they're high on homegrown.
Well, they are. They had us...
They're high on homegrown, yeah.
They had us on the when they talked about Bob Marley. You know, how much better is that? But if you just listen to them for just a little bit, you know, they start talking about whether or not they should have acids or bases to wash down their tents, because whether or not that will take off the calcium buildup. Like, you know, there's a lot of knowledge in there in between the stoner jokes.
Well, why do you seem shocked?
I don't know.
There's science.
Yeah, oh, they are.
There's science behind growing cannabis, right?
Absolutely.
It's very special.
And these guys know a lot
plant.
Of it.
There's not a what? There's not a lot of it?
I said these guys know a lot of it, of the science.
Yes, yes. Every episode that they do is a small portion about how to grow. I'm anxiously trying to learn how to grow cannabis myself right now, and I find their information very interesting. But you know what? We talked to them for, the agreement was for 45 minutes or something. I think we were on there for a good hour and a half, and it was a good chuckle. It was a good discussion.
Yeah. Now, this is a pared-down version, but it... You'll really enjoy it. So listen to our episode and then do us a favor and go back and listen to theirs. But right now, let's listen to us or them interviewing each other about High on Homegrown.
Who's listening to who?
Yeah, maybe he's not here yet. It's cool.
It's fine. Oh, Trevor's here. And
oh, sweet.
There we go.
Hi.
Kirk. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Kirk is going to sign in a second.
No problem. Yeah.
Thanks for letting us on. This will be good.
Oh, it's all good. So thanks for joining us, man.
Nice to see you again, Trevor.
You too. Should I call you TG or Chase on this?
Is that your name? Probably... Is Chase your name?
Whatever. Really, really, really?
Yeah, yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Probably TG, just for that's how everybody else knows me. I mean, it's not like you can't find me out there if you really...
Fair enough.
Want to, but yeah, from the high on homegrown perspective, I'm Temple Grower.
GB has started to call you Tej now. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Oh, he's getting cutesy with you, isn't he?
That's because I call him Jeeb.
Jeeb and Teague.
Oh, yeah. It's so cute. You got little pet names for each other and shit.
I'm sorry, Trevor. We're kind of informal and we just like to have fun with it. So, I mean,
that is fantastic.
Don't think this is a regular interview. This is more of a stoner conversation. We're just going to get to know each other. It's all we'll do.
That's how we roll. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just relaxed. We just like to, I think we have a different kind of conversation with people when we're more relaxed rather than asking the same questions other interviews would ask. We just have a conversation. Sorry.
No. Don't apologize. Kirk's listened to more of your episodes than I have, and he's more excited. Not more excited. I'm excited as well. But yeah, no, we really like the way you guys do what you do.
It's like, oh God, man, I'm gonna go spend my Saturday evening with these guys. What the fuck?
We don't get our feelings, sir. You can say whatever. We're just kind of just a bunch of guys that roll with it, whatever how it comes.
Yeah, man.
No, we really like what you're doing.
So, Reefer Madness, man, where did you get the name from?
Because Kirk misspoke, and What did you say? Well, I didn't say anything. Did you say Reefer Madness? Yes, I did. And it just kind of stuck from there. We had all sorts of other silly things that weren't working very well. And that one, a misspeak turned into a...
That's what it takes anyway.
It's there we go. And,
yeah, just
and him there is start. The man himself. I was just telling them how you named the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. How's it going, Kirk?
Good, thank you, man. How are you?
Not so bad. I'm good and high, man, so I can't complain.
Pleasantly meditating.
Yeah. Nice to see you again, Kirk.
Yeah, nice to see you too, sir.
Yeah, man, so we'll quickly introduce ourselves now we're all here. I'm Mackie from PercysGrowroom.com, high on homegrown. I'm from the UK. That's about it for me, really.
I like your webpage.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I've been doing a lot of work on it over the last few days.
I've been playing around on it.
Oh, cool. If you notice any bugs, let me know, because we're just fixing things up right now. So if there's anything wrong, do let me know and I'll fix it.
Perfect.
So, and Monkey, do you want to say hi?
Yeah, guys. Hi, it's Monkey. I'm down here. I'm in the southern U.S., down around the Gulf of Mexico area. And, you know, the whole cocoa grower, med user. That's me.
Awesome. Of course, you've met Temple Grow before.
Yeah, we had TG on a previous episode. We're a podcast. We talk about lots of cannabis stuff, but the fact I'm a pharmacist and Kirk's a nurse, we probably do more medical stuff, more medical episodes than anything else. And one of our previous guests, she had just gotten into growing her own and talked about this awesome guy, TG, down the street from her who was helping her out. So we had him and her on a show telling us how she started a home grow.
Yeah, that's Sue, right? You're talking about Sue there from
Twitter. That's Sue Litwin, yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. She's amazing.
She's been on a good journey. She's doing very well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's a great lady.
So, and what about you, Kirk? Well, Trevor, do you want to introduce yourself and tell people who you are?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Trevor Schufeld. I'm from Dauphin, Manitoba, Canada. You would think I'd be close to TG, but even though we're one province away, it's like 500 kilometers. Canada's a big, empty place.
That's so not far on American standards. It's just around the corner for Monkey.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, I'm a pharmacist, and I kind of got interested in cannabis through little old people in nursing homes.
Oh, cool.
And the fact that we weren't allowed to have cannabis go into them through pharmacy seemed weird. So I called my friend Kirk, the nurse, and said, you know, we should talk about this. And it kind of turned into a podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah, and that's a nice segue to me. My name is Kirk. I'm a registered nurse, and I grew up on the West Coast. So Victoria, Vancouver Island, off in the, if you know the West Coast of Victoria or BC. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in the 70s, so I knew cannabis culture back then. And of course, becoming a nurse and being outside the law by being a recreational user of cannabis, moving to Dauphin years later, I was a likely person for Trevor to knock on the door and say, want to start talking about cannabis?
Right.
I said, you know, wouldn't that be a teenage boy's wet dream to become a nurse?
Was it an actual knock on the door? Like old
school? Yeah, no literally. Well, literally. Well, Trevor and I knew each other when I first moved to town here. We were friends. And he knocked on the door, came over, we had a beer, and we hashed over the fact that legalization is coming. He's got frustrations. And I just had a general interest in learning more about cannabis because of just my recreational background with it. And yeah, sure enough, we did it. Now we're doing it as professionals, right? So we're also in a country that's legal. So I guess we're allowed to show our faces.
Yeah, that's why me and Monkey are hidden and you guys aren't, you know?
Yeah, I got that. I got that from your webpage when I was reading through it. So if I could pitch a question at you guys, obviously where you live, do you have medicinal cannabis?
It's legal in the UK, but it's illegal? Difficult to get hold of. Medical cannabis is legalized now, but okay. It's very difficult to get hold of and it's very expensive. So
how do you get hold of it? Is it through like a pharmacy, a dispensary, or is it mailed? Or
you have to be referred to a specialist clinic by your doctor, and it's not very often that a doctor is going to do that in the first place. And then if you do that, you have to pay big consultation fees before you see the doctor, and the actual medicine itself is very expensive as well.
And are you allowed to legally grow it yourself for medicine, or
no?
All growing's illegal.
Well, there's some kind of controversy behind it, because it's not like, and we had an interview with one of our guests recently, Trev Coleman, and he spoke about it. It's with the UK law, we police by consent. So unless there's a complaint made against you, the police won't really do anything. So if you can quietly grow and nobody really is caused by any bother, then you won't get any bother from the police. But I suppose that matters with anything. If you don't get caught, the police ain't going to fucking come and pick you up, you know?
But it must be location, location, location also, because if you're a downtown metropolitan growing 600 plants, someone's going to smell your, your crops. So you must be very smart or have some very, very strong carbon filters.
Yeah, especially when you're growing the blue cheese, which I did a couple of months ago. I've had to buy a new filter because of that. Killed it. You keep it small and you have your carbon filter and you follow the three rules of growing, which I don't know if it's just a UK thing, but we have three rules. You don't tell, you don't sell, and you cover the smell. So you don't tell anybody. You obviously don't sell any weed because that brings attention to you, and you're making tax-free money then, and the government don't like it when you make tax-free money. And then cover the smell so nobody finds out about the smell or bothers anybody, and then you'll be okay. So just grow a personal amount of weed and make sure that the smell is covered, and you should be okay in the UK.
People leave you alone. And how about southern states, Monkey?
Well, I live in a state that has what is considered to be a comprehensive medical program. However, the comprehensive medical program, if you know anything about the southern or any the United States, it changes from state to state so much. In my state, the availability is through state-grown crops or state-sponsored crops. We have two universities that grow it, and then it is refined, and it's only sold in refined states. You cannot get whole flour. It is illegal.
Really?
Yeah. To me, that's the purest form. To me, that's the most unadulterated, purest form of the medicine, and that bothers me.
Well, yeah, if you're a believer in that whole endocannabinoid thing, you want all the stuff there with it.
I do.
All the terps as well.
And in the way that it's designed too, not kind of put together in this amalgamation of, not synthetic molecules, but, they're taking terpenes out and then putting more terpenes in this.
Yeah. Basically,
all that kind of thing.
They're selling FSO and RSO and that kind of material. And it's just not the same as whole flour, because, you lose a little bit when you go through the extraction process, I believe, at least.
Well, the whole entourage approach, the fact that you got that balanced plant.
I agree.
Wonder how it was before everybody started messing with it, And I've had this conversation before. It's like, is there really any land race left? I mean, there's plants that might seem like they're land race, like they've been grown for a long time, but they've still been genetically altered in some way by man over the last 100,000 years, especially in the last 10,000 years when we've had agriculture.
Well, you're probably just going to have to take a trip to Kathmandu and get off the bus and walk the ditches to find find a land race. I mean, that's one of the things that happened to me. I had the luxury of traveling Nepal back in 1985 with a horticulturalist, and the males were in flower. So it was just this wonderful pollen all over the place. And my buddy went out and got his plastic bag and shook a bunch of it and raced back to the guest house, and we were exploring male pollen hash, I guess it would have been. So
no way.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, Kathmandu was pretty much a blur.
We spoke to Frenchie Cannoli, and he's been there to Kathmandu as well. He said he loved the place.
I actually got into some poetry writing.
When you was high on hash.
well, the first thing we did, I don't even think I've told Trevor this story. We flew from Bangkok to Kathmandu on Thai Airlines, and they gave my wife a orchid and with a pin, the whole bit. So back in the day, you could have a pin on a plane. So we fly into Kathmandu. Think about it, right? They actually gave her a stick pin.
Yeah.
So we fly into Kathmandu. We get into our hotel, and my wife tells my buddy and I, Brent, you guys promised me that the first thing you don't do is get high. And we said, yes, of course, of course. The first thing we'll do, we'll get settled.
And so of course, you had your fingers crossed.
Well, we know, you know what? I had good intentions.
But, Michelle, you know?
I tried.
Yeah. So Michelle and I end up going upstairs into a couple's room, and our partner goes downstairs. And while he's making arrangements, the Lostman owner gives him the stickiest hash. He brings it up to the room, and we're looking at each other going, well, now what the hell, you know? And Michelle goes, okay, you guys, obviously we're going to have to sample this. So Michelle had her orchid, and the orchid had a aluminum foil around it, and it had the stick pin, and there was a tray of fruit by the side of the bed. So we got the old apple out.
old school, right?
Yeah, so
ingenuity.
Exactly. So we ended up making an apple pipe using the orchid aluminum foil and the stick pin to create the screen, smoked this hash, and then Brent and I went on a our first walk. My wife was too wasted. She couldn't,
she couldn't walk.
she was afraid to go out on the streets, right? So Brent and I, and this was the first time we had done Southeast Asia, and we did Australia, and we were just going into the subcontinent. So this is the first time any of us were in the subcontinent. And so it was a little, well, I guess, odd, right? Mm-hmm. So we're wasted walking the streets looking for a pipe.
And I think that segues nicely into, if you end up listening to Reefer Madness, the podcast, I'm kind of the straight man. You know, the tie, you know, might give it away, but I'm a bit of the straight man, and Kirk has a little more lived experience. One of the things I thought was interesting when Mackie was talking about the smell, when it's not technically legal to grow in Canada, well, Manitoba is a little different, but most places in Canada you can grow. But just last week, our version of the BBC, we call it the CBC, was having an expose in Winnipeg about people buying houses in Winnipeg and using them as medicinal grow ops. And
I read that, yeah.
And they're making a big deal about this. And the reason the neighbors complained was because of the smell. Now, I'm not saying you should annoy your neighbors, but the slant of the reporters was, you know, these terrible people growing medicine. And, you know, it was going to lead to street crime. I think you're kind of missing the point. Mm-hmm. They're doing something legal. Now, you know, it shouldn't stink up the neighborhood, yada, yada. They could be doing it better, but it was like this was, you know, Hell's Angels setting this up, when it probably wasn't, because Kirk was just recently talking to some people who are sort of trying to go from being home growers to micro growers, and they're running into that same sort of stigma.
Right. I think some of those, Trevor, some of this, what the story not basically told in that story was that they were growing 800 plants.
Whoa. So that's very fucking stinky.
Very fucking sticky. Yeah. And they are, and they're renting houses specifically to do grow ups. So you can imagine how the mold will eventually start. But I think that's the story that I got out of that one, Trevor, is that they're growing legal pot, but they've got three licenses they're growing. So they're growing a lot of medicine.
We always like to encourage, whether you're growing professionally or not, you have to be a respectful grower. Whether you're growing legally or not, you have to be respectful of your neighbors and the people you live around. You know, even when you're smoking, I wouldn't encourage smoking in the street, because there's kids around. The kids don't need to smell that. You know, there's specific places you should be smoking.
I
just think we try to encourage people to be as responsible as possible. Just because you smoke weed, you don't have to act like a dickhead, you know?
No, not at all.
Yeah, exactly.
But actually, smell comes up a lot, since Mackie mentioned even when you're smoking it. So what, because we have a lot of medicinal patients who, you know, this might be the first time they're ever using. Mm-hmm. If they don't want all their neighbor, if they're not growing, if they're just smoking in their house, their garage, their, you know, balcony of their apartment building, do you guys have any tips and tricks for them for not having everyone smell what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it would only work at home, but you could set up a room which is specifically smoking, but you can have some extraction and a carbon filter built into that room as if it was like a grow tent. You know, so instead of covering up the smell of the plants, you're covering up the smell of the smoke.
Yeah.
And then the smoke will be extracted out and filtered before anybody smells it outside. And then it won't smell.
In Canada, we have garages. So that's my medicine room.
Mm-hmm. But we do have people who live in small apartments who, you know, are using this as medicine,
right.
who have their landlords threatening to kick them out.
It's not, like, in my experience at least, vaporization isn't quite in the same, like, it doesn't affect me quite as much as smoking, like combustion does. I prefer actual smoking, like whether it's through a bong or a joint or however you do it. But if you're in that type of situation, something like this, I don't know if you can see in the screen, my crafty, this is just one version of a portable vaporizer, or you can get non-portable vaporizers as well, such as like the Volcano.
Yeah, the Volcano is huge. It takes up the whole coffee table. You and eight
breads. Yeah, it's about the size of a good sized blender, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they work great in terms of, they still do smell, but they're not going to smell as much, and the smell dissipates quite a bit more. Like I'm using this in my house right now. I don't smoke at all in my house, but, like give it 5 minutes for the furnace to run and kind of circulate the air, and the smell will be gone in this room. But, and it doesn't linger.
As far as you know, you get nose blind to it though.
Well, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never had, like, people have come up here that don't smoke and they're not like, oh man, it smells like weed in here or something. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's okay. Yeah. It's better than smoking it for sure as an alternative.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's again, storytelling here. You know, I think back of my high school friends and the guys at who I would go to in those days to spend my $20 for an ounce of commercial weed.
And, an ounce for $20?
Well, that was Four Fingers, right? That's what we called an ounce, and that was commercial. That was
West Coast, right?
The Mohican stuff would have been 35. We called a lid. A lid was three fingers because it fit in the lid of a tobacco tobacco thing.
I remember lids from Cheech and Chong movies.
Yeah, I mean that's my decades. But my friends, some guys just never got out of the basement or their parents' house. But you walk in there, and I can still smell the homegrown that they used to have in that in the '70s. You know, so it does get in. The smell does get into the house.
It does definitely.
Yeah. So a couple of questions for Mackie and Mike, Monkey. So your jurisdictions are legal for medicine, obviously illegal for recreation.
Yeah.
Okay. So
same here. Yeah.
Yeah. So are people allowed to consume their medicine in public places?
No.
Like respectfully, of course.
Absolutely no, they'd still get prosecuted because there's no way in the UK right now to verify whether somebody using cannabis for medicine or recreationally. So they might be a medicinal patient.
So it's going to have to be like Canada. It's going to have to go to court and create case law.
Yeah, probably it's going to be a difficult
more than
mission.
Likely. I mean, I've done a little bit of cannabis tourism around the U.S. and not just here, but even in Seattle and Portland and Denver, big hubs, it's still illegal to consume in public. Yeah. I mean, and that's okay. So you can have it. You just can't consume it. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. That's what we call it in Canada. You know, there's legalization 2.0, hopefully with the edibles, but you still can't. You still can't walk around and smoke like before a concert, you know, how you used to in the old days, stand outside the fire exit and have a hoot before you went into the concert. Now you can't do that.
Right. No, you just do it while you're
unless you have your green card, then you're allowed to consume your medicine. There's
a card coming out in the UK pretty soon called Can Card, which is going to be for medical patients so they can identify themselves to the police as medical users.
All six of them.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know how much it's enforced or if it can be enforced like under the, you know, the rights issues, the human rights stuff. But Saskatoon has enacted a bylaw where they say no usage of cannabis, medical or otherwise, doesn't matter what it is, on any public property, regardless of whether you have your authorization like I do. I always complain about that because I say, like, prior to 2018 and legalization, as a registered medical patient, I had way more rights from 2014 until 2018 than I do now.
Well, but again, federal law trumps provincial regulations, right? So so they can give you a ticket, but they can't do anything about it. There's no...
Yeah.
So it's
just... That's, right. And that's kind of what I've been told by a multitude of people. But I just, you know, I'm not the type of person that wants to have to deal with the stupid police doing that in the first place. And then
everybody thinks the war is over, but it isn't.
No, it's not. It's not at all. As a nurse, I'm still frustrated with the concept of, you know, pharmacies can't deal, and this is Trevor's rant, pharmacies can't deal with cannabis, and hospitals. If I'm a medicinal user of cannabis, I should be able to have my cannabis in the hospital. And those issues are still out there.
So, Trevor, how long have you been a pharmacist?
Long time, 23 years.
Wow.
Since 1997.
So you've seen the complete change of medicine from being completely anti-cannabis to being is it even pro-cannabis, but at least having cannabis?
No, and that's the interesting part, is it's definitely not pro-cannabis yet. And it was only through the podcast that I realized, so technically it's been legal as medicine for almost 20 years, since the early 2000s in Canada, but everything that has happened in cannabis in Canada is because someone went to court and challenged something. Mm-hmm. So it's only been by little bit has it sort of come around. And even still, I was on a continuing education thing this morning with a bunch of family doctors, and it's gone a long way. It's come a long way in the last 3 to 5 years, but still most family doctors at best are ignorant about what cannabis could do, and at worst are out and out against it. I'm hoping this is not still true, but when Kirk and I were at a course about 6 months ago, pre-COVID, seems a lifetime ago, they were talking about the whole city of Brandon, the second largest city in our province, all the doctors there sort of basically getting together en masse and saying, we're not going to give any prescriptions for cannabis to any of our patients because we think it's all bunk. So it's not, stigma is still here and still strong.
Do you think that it's got any weight to it though? Can they actually do that?
Well, for better or worse, since recreational has gone legal, you could go down and buy stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's good. But on the other hand, and this is nothing against bud tenders, I've met some excellent bud tenders. Bud tenders don't have the medical training to help a sick person.
Definitely, mate, agree. Yeah.
And I don't want to have a bud, I don't think it should be the responsibility of a bud tender to give advice to a sick person. I think the medic, the doctor, the pharmacist, the physiotherapist, the healthcare team, for everything else, we've got a team of people around the patient. Why on this one thing does the patient sort of have to go do it on their own, go figure it out on their own? It's ridiculous.
Especially with the lack of mortality rate that cannabis has compared to prescription medication.
Oh yeah, you can't, we've had expert after expert, and you guys know this, you can't overdose and kill yourself on cannabis.
Now, you need to smoke 1,500 pounds in how long was it? I can't remember. We did a true force on it
within a couple hours or something. It's ludicrous.
You would die of smoke inhalation and suffocation, before you, with the amount that you would need.
Assuming
you're not intravenously injecting the shit.
You can't do it.
Then it's Rick Simpson oil, then, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if you smoke 1,500 pounds a day, it'll probably kill you just as much.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
one of the things that's really interesting about what we've done, we're up to about 60 episodes now, is that we're finding
58, I think you're on.
60. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But just to let you know.
Thanks for that. Numbers aren't my gig. I give the numbers to Trevor. but we're meeting people organically through this process, and health professionals that are stumbling into it. So Trevor made a comment about how doctors could stop that. And I guess they can, but through our program, we're trying to encourage patients how to talk to their doctor. And if the doctor is not interested, because I have had family doctors tell me that any doctor that prescribes cannabis is a pusher man. Right. So I've had these conversations also, but in Canada, we have services. So you can dial a doc or Hello MD, or, there are cannabis specialists out there that will prescribe cannabis for you. Trevor and I are now trying to figure out how those doctors do it cross provinces. That's what we don't understand.
I was going to talk about that just as a byproduct of, like you were saying, in Brandon, the doctors all got together and decided they were not going to help anybody. So what are these patients going to have to do? Is they're going to have to call, these various clinics. I I'm one of these people. In Saskatchewan, it's just as hard. I've had many family doctors. I've gone to specialists for, like, I have an irritable bowel syndrome, or at least that's kind of what they've deduced. But I mean, I don't really know what it is, but at this point, yeah, none of my healthcare professionals would help me in terms of when I've told them, okay, well, I'll try your stuff, but I'm also using cannabis and it seems to be helping. Can we look at that? They want nothing to do with that. So I've had to go to these clinics all the time. And, you know, I'm glad that the clinics exist for the reason that it does help people that they do need it. But again, going back to that bust and all these people complaining, I mean, if you do want to get rid of the criminal, or a big part of the criminal aspect, get rid of the ease of access. And by having doctors actually help people that need it, instead of having kind of the dial-a-doc model, which again, I'm not opposed to, because I've been a part of that since 2014 for the reason that I can't have my family doctor. And it's really good, but it does get abused. That's one easily abusable part of the system. And I don't know, that doesn't seem to register. They just would rather not deal with it and then keep blaming the medical growers for helping the black market and all these
things. This is the thing. This, you know, legalization of cannabis in Canada is fantastic, but the ignorance of the culture of cannabis is so displayed in how they unrolled it, right? So you've got the medicinal side of it, but also on the recreational side, the government doesn't understand that, you know, the medicinal allows you to grow 800 plants. Well, no disrespect to these guys that are growing 800 plants, but I could, from what I've learned so far and what I know about the culture, some of that 800 plants is leaking out of into the industry as either gifts or a silver market, right? Mm. So I think the way the government unrolled it, in the sense that they gave cannabis contracts to big money, mm-hmm. and didn't allow the legacy guys to just say, okay, you know what, we're just going to open it up and it can be like having an orchard. You know, if you decide to grow apples, you can sell the apples from the side of the road. They should have allowed they should have allowed it right from the start. Everyone's mm-hmm. allowed to grow, you can buy it and go from there.
You know, it's like, by making it legal, we want you to remove laws, not add them.
Yes, exactly.
So where do our listeners go to find you and your podcast?
Easiest place is probably our website, which is reefermed.ca. And then on the social medias, we're at Reefer Medness on Twitter. Kirk, we're at Reefer Medness on Instagram. And I think we're also at Reefer Medness on Facebook.
And then all the platforms, iTunes, Stitcher.
Yeah, if they tape in Reefer Madness on any of the podcast platforms, we should pop up.
Cool. I like to just sum it all up with, like, you can find us on Google, just put in High and Homegrown.
Yeah, that's how I found you guys. High and Homegrown, there you were.
Works too, yeah.
And our name came up like yours did just one day, was High and then Pop. Oh, that's a good name. What's wrong with that? We should make a podcast with that name, right? And it works, man, because we're all just High on Homegrown. So it works lovely. So you're going to use this as well. So if you want to find us High on Homegrown. Sunday nights we stream live on YouTube.
Perfect.
If you just go to YouTube/High on Homegrown, you'll see one of our videos and you'll see what time we start in your area.
Sunday afternoon here in Saskatchewan. But yeah, Google it and figure out your conversion time zones.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having two identicals out with two different brands. I think that'd be kind of cool.
We're doing it with Growcast this week. We're doing something similar. You know, Jordan River from Growcast.
Cool. No, but maybe we should.
You should definitely.
It's a great show.
You should get on his show. He's sent loads of listeners our way as well. We've got a lot of Growcast listeners. He's a very popular podcast. You definitely check him out. Have you spoken to Peter Grinspoon yet as well?
No, he's on the list of people we'd love to interview.
Have you got him confirmed? Have you spoke to him at all?
No.
I'll give him a shout, man. I'll see if I can hook you up.
That'd be great.
Yeah, man. So I want to get him back on our show as well. I haven't had him on for a while.
Yeah, he's a great interview.
Yeah, you'd obviously all get on because you're in the same kind of profession. So that would be a great interview for your show. That would I'd love to hear that one.
And he's very genuine.
Yeah.
Very
yeah, for sure. Here.
Sweet. Right then, Trevor, Kirk, it's been a massive pleasure. Yes. And we'll do it again soon.
Hecky, Monkey, and of course, definitely. TG, thank you. That was great. Yeah. We really enjoyed it.
Hopefully you enjoyed it here.
Yeah, no,
cheers, guys.
I'm sure if I ever get out to your area, or if you're ever in Saskatoon, once the COVID kind of clears up, I'm sure we'll, the whole Canada community will, you know, get together, and that'd be great to actually meet everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Nice.
Yeah, that's one of my goals.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Later.
Okay, guys. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Trent.
Cheers. Thanks, guys. See you later, mate. Bye. Bye.
Okay, we're back out. Kirk, that was great. I really, really enjoyed talking to those guys. I've got a special Christmas request for Renee for a little bit of music at the end of this. I would really like Three Little Birds by Bob Marley. Again, we were on there, Bob Marley. Bob Marley was their famous stoner on this episode. You know, couldn't be any better. Got any complaints with a little Bob Marley to play us out?
Oh, man, no, I grew up with Bob Marley. I was listening to Bob when I was a teenager. Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of Bob Marley. Peter Tosh, legalize it.
Well, time to blow this joint. Like the show? Let us know. We're Reefer Madness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Madness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermad.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next. Talk to you later.
Don't worry about a thing. Morning, smile with the rising sun. Three little birds beat by my doorstep, singing sweet songs of melodies pure and true, saying,
this is my message to you, boo-boo.
Singing, don't worry about a thing.
All right, everybody.
Don't criminalize it.
Merry Christmas, or if this is a little bit later, Merry After Christmas. we had a great time with the High on Homegrown guys. And yeah. Come on back for our regular feed. Come